The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 9, Killers, Part 2.
Oxford has a big focus on alleviating poverty and alleviating water insecurities. There's a huge problem in the developing world about not having access to clean and safe drinking water. Oxford is funded to get people out of water insecurity. My name is David Clifton and I'm a faculty member in the Department of Engineering Science here at the University of Oxford. And my group is based within the technology part of the university, where the emphasis is on big data, machine learning technologies. And the kind of problems that we set out to solve include how can you use information in an intelligent way to help predict danger, catastrophic outcomes, and thereby to avoid them. These are not programs with academic outputs, so they're not clever people writing clever papers saying how clever they are. The goal of the project is to get 2 million people out of water problems and out of water insecurity and to change government policy in 2 or 3 developing world states. When I was studying here for my doctoral degree, I worked on early warning systems for jet engines. So if you've flown on the Airbus A380 or the Boeing 787 or the Eurofighter Typhoon, then our algorithms are used to monitor the engines of those aircraft to try and predict failure. So they're really good at taking data from something and forecasting the future and trying to estimate risk of this system having problems. And it's the same thing in the water situation. So specifically what we're doing here for some of the initial work is focusing on the hand pumps that are the means by which the rural inhabitants of our study sites, say for example Kenya, Ethiopia and Bangladesh, they use hand pumps to get their water supply, and it comes from deep in the ground, so it's not surface water, which is potentially polluted. It's good, safe water, which is withdrawn from the ground using pumps. But of course, you can imagine that the whole welfare of the village depends on the pump working, the hand pump working. And some of these pumps are quite old, and it's estimated that at any one time, at least a third of them are just not working. And when a pump stops working, it's a big deal because it means the villagers have got to go up to 20 kilometres to an alternative source, and that source might not be safe, and it has huge problems for health, for the development of children. You can imagine it's a really nasty problem when villagers cease to be able to have access to safe water. So how do we do that? Because these are quite heavy, robust beasts. They're supposed to last decades and decades, so you can't put loads of fancy equipment in them because you can't drill into them, and also there's so very many of them. You need something cheap, something inexpensive, but something very clever and robust because people's lives depend on it. So some of the work that we've done before are in what's called mobile health. It means using your mobile phone as a healthcare device. You can put clever algorithms onto a phone and then use the sensors in the phones that we carry around to do incredible things, such as acquire acoustics, so sound and vibration. A phone is actually a really good data collection device. As part of this project, in 300 hand pumps across Kenya, we've inserted the innards, so to speak, of a mobile phone in the handles of these pumps. So it's really easy to do. And then the pump itself becomes a data collection device because every time the handle is used, the mobile phone is moving around and it can transmit its data back to a central site. But of course, you start collecting all this data and then you need to be able to do something with it. So it's the old traditional question of, I've got vast quantities of data, how on earth can I make sense of this? So really that's where the technology comes in from in engineering. How do you take the data from these sensors in the hand pumps and use it to predict the future of the hand pump? Is it going to fail within a week? Is it going to fail within a month? Do we need to get somebody to come to the pump and look after it before it breaks? So thereby not interrupting the water supply to the village and avoiding all the health problems that happen as a function of that. It also has some really other surprising properties. Some of the preliminary work that we've looked at is not just at, is the pump going to fail, but it's what is the water level of the water underneath the pump? So what's the health of the water system that the pumps are using? This is a big deal because We have very little understanding about the health of the aquifer, as it's called, the health of the water system, the groundwater system under the pumps. There's a problem, for example, in many developing world countries, in the fragile states that we deal with, where they really want to encourage economic growth, obviously. So opening up that new mine to mine precious metals might be a great idea. Opening up that new plantation to grow sugarcane might be a great idea. It employs loads of people, has a big difference on the local economy, seems like a great idea. But these industries use tons of water. So you might encourage one of these industries in for economic benefit and to give people employment and so on. And yet it might be destroying the aquifer system and putting people at risk of water insecurity and for the water system failing because they're withdrawing so much water for these industries. So being able to use the same data that we were using to monitor the condition of the pump to be able to monitor the condition of the water system is really exciting. We're big fans about being able to get as much useful information as we can out of the data supply, out of the data sources that we have. And some of the preliminary work has suggested that we're able to tell who is pumping from the data as well. So what I mean there is it a male, is it a female, is it a child? Because this has big ramifications for policy as well, in what you're encouraging in village life and so on. So my father's family are from Kenya actually, and there it's the woman's job to get the water. And if men are pumping, that's actually an indicator that there is something wrong. Perhaps there's high unemployment, perhaps there's some health concerns, perhaps some other emergency, because men don't usually do that job. So that's interesting. And also, if you're observing children doing the pumping during school hours, then obviously you've got an education problem and you need to be able to ensure that children are getting their development targets and so on. So this is work that UNICEF is very interested in, of course, under their remit of helping the development of children throughout the developing world. We don't tend to make sensors and things like that. We tend to work with people who make them because that's not really the specialty, although we've done some things in various projects like Jess engines and so on. So we tend to work with people who get sensors. We collect data, and that often means going to the country. So it means all the kind of things we talked about before, going to a risky place, collecting data from a hazardous environment. Then we bring it back. There's a lot of computer-based work, so investigating the data and so on. But then there's a lot of pure math going on as well. Machine learning really means building models inside computer programs. So yes, you've got to write a computer program to do it, but the really interesting part, I guess, is constructing the model that you're going to put into the program. Because a program is really just a recipe, a set of very simple instructions to a computer to get it to execute a program. You're telling it to do something, but what are you telling it to do? That's machine learning. So machine learning really means on paper, building mathematical models, which you then invariably have to sit in front of a computer to make work. This is an area that most people have touched on in their daily lives. When you scroll down your Facebook feed, for example, machine learning algorithms are trying to determine what you want to see. They're making predictions about which friends are most interesting to you, who you reply to the most, which adverts you want to see, for example. That's how a lot of these sites keep going. And so what is it that's doing that? It's a machine learning algorithm that's learning from the data that you've given it, so namely how you interact with Facebook, and it's predicting what it thinks you want to see about your friends and what adverts you might like to see. So we use similar techniques, actually. For some, it's quite surprising to learn that machine learning, this creature that is this concept that is so very interesting in modern life, is actually based quite firmly on mathematics and statistics and the kind of thing that at school that most people think is really dry and boring. Over the last year, we've just done the prototype. So we had a pump here in Oxford with loads of kit on it. And then we had a pump in Africa with loads of kit on it. We started collecting data from that small number of pumps, bringing the data back, doing that mathematical work that I described. The first versions of the system are being pushed out onto the pump network now. So we're getting data collected from those hundreds of pumps. And really the challenge for us over the next couple of years is how good can we make those systems? once we start looking at and processing those huge amounts of data from those hundreds of pumps, how is it performing across a whole region? And then working in collaboration with people like UNICEF, can we start to scale that up across counties up to whole country type scale? 5 years would be a realistic time frame to be able to say, if this technology works, and that's what we're still working on the science to demonstrate, that does it work or not, if this technology works, then can we start using it across thousands rather than hundreds of pumps? And is it reliable enough to have people in government looking at the data and being able to make real decisions that affect people's lives based on it? It's only part of the huge amount of data that can be collected. And we're working with governmental partners in Bangladesh, to fuse various data sources together, so health data, economic data, social data, poverty-related data, as well as the water data that we're talking about, to see if we can answer bigger questions. Machine learning gets a lot of bad press, and everybody's seen Terminator 2, and everybody's very scared about machine learning, but machine learning has a big role to play in making the world better.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Lou Sumner, and produced by Steve Pritchard for the University of Oxford. To find out more about the University of Oxford's fascinating science, follow us on Twitter at Oxford Sparks, via our Facebook page, or visit the website www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.